Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know what benefit physicians in the Victorian era believed strychnine could provide? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing what pharmacists should know about migraines with Jennifer Mazin, professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice at Midwestern University College of Pharmacy. With her background in family medicine, community pharmacy, and ambulatory care, Mazin sees a lot of patients who confuse migraines with headaches. She describes how pharmacists and patients can both differentiate these different disorders properly.
Headache disorders are extremely common, so an appropriate diagnosis is essential to ensure proper treatment. Migraines are more than just a headache, and I think that's really the key to differentiating them. Unlike other headaches, migraines are a complex neurological disorder. They have numerous symptoms. They often present differently with each episode, and they can actually have a profound impact on the patient's quality of life. So they can miss work and school. They tend to center around the severe headache pain, but they're often accompanied by nausea, vomiting, difficulty concentrating, and sensitivity to light and sound. Some patients will even get an aura prior to the headache pain. So this aura can include visual disturbances, you know, such as like flashing lights, or they may lose vision and partial vision in one eye. Other symptoms of an aura may be sensory or speech or language or motor disturbances. And then once the headache's relieved, many patients find that they're still fatigued or even irritable once the pain is gone. So it's really much more than a headache.
She also goes into the different pharmacological treatments out there that can be used for acute and preventative purposes.
Treatment is divided into two different categories. So there's acute treatment for when the patient is actually getting a migraine or having the migraine. And then there's also preventative treatment, which is for patients who have numerous migraines per month. So acute treatment options include several different drugs. Usually patients will start out with an over-the-counter analgesic or NSAID, such as acetaminophen, naproxen, or ibuprofen, or even one of the combination products such as Excedrin. These will work for some patients, but they typically don't provide adequate relief for most patients with migraines. And really the only time they're used is maybe as an adjunct to one of the other treatments, or if the patient has had relief in the past. I think really our first line treatment and our go-to for migraines are called the triptans, which are serotonin agonists, such as sumatriptan or rizatriptan. These are most effective when taken early in the attack, and the patient has the option to take a second dose if the symptoms aren't relieved or if they return. Another positive thing about the triptan is it comes in several different dosage forms. So patients that may suffer from a lot of nausea or vomiting, there's an ODT formulation, there's nasal spray and subcutaneous injections. For patients that tend to have longer lasting migraines or if they tend to reoccur, those patients may benefit from a longer acting triptan such as fovitriptan or naratriptan. And really the thing to remember about the triptans is if a patient fails one triptan, that really doesn't mean that they fail the whole class. They can, there are different options. It may need to be a different formulation or even a different triptan. For patients that either fail triptan therapy or can't tolerate them or in which they're indicated, there are some alternatives we can go to. The ergotamine derivatives, those have been around since the 1920s. So they've been around for a very long time. And these are non-selective 5-HT1 receptor agonists. So these inhibit inflammation and constrict intracranial blood vessels. The positive thing about these is that they're available in several different dosage forms. So again, if a patient is experiencing a lot of nausea and vomiting, there's not only the oral formulation, but there's sublingual, rectal, nasal sprays, and injection, either IV, sub-Q, and it even comes in an IM. The thing with the ergotamines, doses are usually titrated until relief is achieved, but then again, it must be balanced so they maintain that sub-nauseating dose, because as the doses increase, the more likelihood that the patient will experience nausea and vomiting. So that's really a delicate balance there. And despite these being around for so long, their use is really limited. The evidence for this is very inconsistent. And then there are also the numerous side effects. Another option would be lasmiditan. That one's relatively new. That is a selective serotonin 1F receptor agonist. This works directly on the pain receptors. One thing to remember about this drug is that it can cause CNS depression. Side effect of it is dizziness. That's very common with this drug. So with lasmiditan, we want to warn patients not to drive for at least 8 hours after taking it. The CGRPs are a relatively new class of drugs. These are the calcitonin gene-related peptide antagonists. These bind to the CGRP receptor to inhibit pain. They inhibit inflammation and vasodilation as well. And there are two for acute treatment, ubrogepant and rimegepant. And they offer an alternative option for patients who can't take the triptans. And then we really reserve butalbital and opiates for patients who just can't get relief from what they have already. They're not generally recommended because there's an increased risk of medication overuse headache or rebound headaches. And then of course, with the opioids, we want to avoid those as much as possible. So that kind of summarizes the treatments for acute migraine attacks. For preventative treatment, that is indicated for patients with either chronic migraines or with episodic migraines that are frequent, long-lasting, or they experience a significant diminution in quality of life despite proper acute treatment. There's really no strict guidelines for frequency or duration, but preventative treatment is usually considered if the patient experiences 4 or more headaches per month or 2 or more per week, or their headaches are lasting longer than 12 hours. And there are several options for preventative medications for these patients. There's beta blockers, so metoprolol, propranolol, and timolol have the most evidence as far as the beta blockers goes. Topiramate, valproate have good solid evidence for the anticonvulsives. And then even antidepressants such as amitriptyline or venlafaxine are an alternative for preventative treatment. And then if patients fail those, there are other preventative treatment options, which include the large molecule CGRPs or even Botox injections. But those are usually reserved for patients that fail the other preventative treatment.
We are taking a short break to celebrate pharmacy hero Edgar's Kosar, owner of Benadir Pharmacy in Minneapolis, Minnesota. About 80% of the pharmacy's patients are non-English speaking new immigrants. And Kosar said they typically enjoy coming into the pharmacy and having in-person consultations with the staff. However, the COVID-19 pandemic has created obstacles in providing these services. To alleviate some of those fears, Kosar and his team translated materials on COVID-19 into their patients' native languages and posted them in the pharmacy windows, as well as attaching flyers to their prescription bags. Finally, the team has increased their delivery services from 50% to 80%, including drivers who speak the patient's languages and have gone through cultural competency training. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. Mazin elaborated on the growing use and popularity of CGRPs in acute migraine treatment and why this has become a growing topic in the pharmacy landscape.
Well, because migraines we still are trying to understand the exact pathophysiology and what causes them. And so they're really honing in on this calcitonin gene receptor peptide. And that's a neuropeptide released during a migraine attack that acts on multiple sites along the trigeminal vascular pathway, which causes vasodilation, inflammation, and pain. So it's really a specific targeted neuropeptide that we're focusing on here with these CGRPs. The CGRPs, they're antagonists, so they will block the CGRP molecule from actually binding to the receptors. These provide patients with an alternative who have insufficient response to triptans or which triptans are contraindicated. And previously, if they failed triptans, the options were quite limited. So this really opens up a whole nother category for patients to try. Although there are several CGRPs available, only two are approved for acute migraine treatment. And like I had mentioned, that's ubrogepant and rimegepant. Ubrogepant, which is marketed as Ubrelvy, that's an oral tablet. It's available in two dosage two strengths, 50 milligrams and 100 milligrams. And one of the advantages to Ubrelvy is that it allows patients to take a second dose if needed. Rimegepant is a single dose, but it does come in an ODT tablet. So patients who experience a lot of nausea, that may be a good option. Both of these have a positive safety and efficacy profile, but these are still rather new. So we're still collecting data on these new class of drugs.
Even with everything she has learned about migraines and treatment, she knows there is still more to learn about these disorders due to their complexity.
Well, migraines, since they're so common, they're underdiagnosed, they're very complex, and they can cause such a significant decrease in quality of life. We really want to continue to learn more about them and make patients and pharmacists aware of this complex disorder. The more that we become aware of it and the pathophysiology of it, we can develop more targeted treatment options. The CGRPs are a step in the right direction. So as more patients are prescribed these, more evidence will be available and hopefully they'll become more accessible and less costly. Pharmacists, you know, because we are the most accessible healthcare professional, we can really provide that education to our patients, go over different treatment options. You know, for example, if a patient is not tolerating the triptan well, we can suggest a different triptan or different formulation to help them. If they don't get relief, we can, from the triptan, we can provide, suggest alternatives and work with their neurologist. And really, I think the key here is educating the patients with the many different options that they have and that they, and making them understand that they really don't have to suffer.
Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? The benefit that physicians in the Victorian era believed strychnine could provide was a stimulant with a sexual benefit. At the turn of the 20th century, strychnine was widely acknowledged by the medical community for its effective use as a stimulant. The drug was used for Olympic marathon runners to help them maintain their stamina, such as in the case of American distance runner Thomas Hicks in 1904, or to help students stay up and cram for a test, such as in the case of Leonard Sandel in 1896. In the 19th century, French scientists became particularly interested in one potential application of strychnine's stimulant capacity after they heard rumors of the drug's ability to provide sexual benefits to users. Following this trend in France, a company in Miami during the 1960s learned of strychnine's supposed sexual benefit from the medical writings of the Victorian era. The company, All Products Unlimited, hoped to seize upon the sexual revolution of the 1960s for financial gain by selling an aphrodisiac pill they called Gems. The pill, marketed as a sex energizer pep tablet for married men and women, contained a small dose of strychnine. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.